My name is Kawal Ulanday, and I'm a member of the Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines, and I'm also the chairperson of a coalition in the Bay Area called Filipinos for Global Justice, Not War. And I just want to—I'll only take about 5 minutes because so we could ask questions to the other speakers. And I'm sorry that I also missed their presentations. I just want to start by thanking Veterans for Peace for being able to have our movement and our struggle to be able to share the current intervention in the Philippines. It is a current intervention, but we know that it's an old, old, old intervention, one that actually started at the turn of the century with MacArthur's father, actually, first colonizing the Philippines, so-called liberating us from 300-plus years of Spanish colonialism. So it's a long-time intervention that never has ended, despite the fact that in 1991, there was a mass movement in the Philippines that was able to close Clark and Subic bases in the Philippines. But what we know and what the people of the Philippines know is that that didn't do anything at all to really remove the U.S. military or occupation in the country. It just basically set off treaty after treaty after treaty that has the word mutual in every single one of them, but really only benefits U.S. interests in that area of the country. And what are those U.S. interests? All of you are military folks, and so you probably are very aware of the fact that strategically, geographically, the Philippines is a very critical spot for control in the Pacific Rim. There's threats of China now to this government, where they feel that they have to have a lot of presence there. And alongside that, the Philippines is full of valuable resources, high-quality oil and high-quality gold. There's tons of raw materials and valuable minerals in the Philippines because our country sits on a geothermal plate. There's a lot of volcanoes in the Philippines. And what happens from that is all this activity, and you get layers and layers and layers of valuable resources. Unfortunately, those resources are never, ever used to produce the country of the Philippines and to develop our country, which we feel should be rich and self-sustainable. But foreign interests, and this is the other reason of U.S. troops being in the Philippines and U.S. interests in the Philippines, effectively, basically rake and pillage those resources out of our country and to bring them out, and therefore the Philippines is never able to really develop. So it's the resources there, and then again, and it's interesting learning about this National Endowment for Democracy, because that must be the way that every single president of the Philippines has been able to, and I never heard of this thing. But the current president, we call her GMA, Gloria Macapagal Arroyo. It's ironic, just like Bush Jr., she's the daughter of a former president also in the Philippines, and she's also another child carrying on a legacy set forth by their parents of a plan in the Philippines. And something about GMA was that she was educated right here in Georgetown. She was a classmate of Bill Clinton, actually, and she's supposed to be an economist. And I don't know how she passed, because we're in the worst economic situation we've ever been in the Philippines. Economically, socially, and politically, a crisis unprecedented. Our money is the lowest value that it's ever been before. Landlessness in a place where 75% of the population are peasants and farmers, but they don't own one square foot of land to themselves. Unemployment, which is higher than ever, and up to 3,000 people every single day trying to leave the Philippines to find jobs elsewhere. So the current intervention, and some of you probably aware, since the 9/11, the Philippines became the second front in Bush's so-called war against terrorism. Afghanistan, of course, was the first, and then Philippines was the next country where troops were deployed. Supposedly, there's a Muslim insurgency there, and there's terrorists there. What we do know is that there is an extremist group called the Abu Sayyaf. And they are a bandit group of no more than 100, 200 people, but they have been effective in actually demonizing and criminalizing a whole Islamic and Muslim community in the Philippines. And it's them that are being used as the justification for the need for U.S. troops there. It's against the Philippine Constitution to bring nuclear arms and to have combat troops in our country from a foreign country. But yet these laws and these things in our Constitution are not being respected by the U.S. government. So as a result, we have combat troops that are in the Philippines. We have had documented cases of shootings by U.S. military personnel onto civilians. These things are documented and witnessed. There was a Lieutenant Reggie Lane who actually shot a Muslim man in his own home at 3 a.m. in the morning as he laid there sleeping. There was a recent massacre in Mindoro Oriental of a family where witnesses saw the armed forces of the Philippines shooting and killing people in the villages. And we have to remember that these are the same troops that are getting so-called training and advising from U.S. troops that are supposed to be training them on how to fight this Muslim threat or these terrorists. There have been so many massacres. I was going to go over some of them, but just there have been human rights violations at an unprecedented level in the Philippines, and it's no coincidence that it happens in areas where the troops are and where there's the AFP, and which is the Armed Forces of the Philippines. Some of you might have heard of this recent thing in the Philippines where actually soldiers, 300 soldiers, took over a shopping center in Makati district and even had some hostages there. These were 300 AFP soldiers led by a handful of them that said that we're not going to no longer take not getting paid, being used as cannon fodder for a military where all the generals and all the high-level officers live lives of kings. But the troops in the trenches suffer from so many things, from not being paid to witnessing even. There have been one of the biggest protests of these soldiers with that they have witnessed officers of the AFP giving arms and weapons to the Abu Sayyaf. The Abu Sayyaf had two missionaries, American missionaries, hostage for a long time, the Burnham couple. Gracia Burnham and her husband, and in a rescue attempt, the husband was killed, but Gracia survived and wrote a book. And in her own book, she writes about how she was just dumbfounded, just confused when she saw many encounters with the AFP and the Abu Sayyaf, with the AFP giving them weapons. This is even in her book. There's a case of James Marion. James Marion was an American man whose hotel room in Mindanao blew up. Blew his leg off too, this man basically had a bomb in his room, and it went off earlier than planned, and the American CIA came in, swept him up, and got him right out of the country. And this is a situation where we see these bombings happening in the Philippines, and then we need more U.S. troops to come to the Philippines, and so there's a lot of connections being made about the CIA's involvement in these kinds of things that therefore justify again U.S. troops in our country. So there's upwards of almost 10,000 troops there now. There are about 400 special forces troops, and then there are several hundreds and some thousands of I guess regular troops. But there are a lot of special forces troops in the Philippines now too. And 400 million of our taxpayer dollars have just been devoted to Gloria Arroyo to continue the occupation of our country. And so the Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines, we exist here in this country because we believe that we are yet to be liberated, even though we were supposed to have been liberated at the turn of the century from Spain. And then when I Shall Return, Douglas MacArthur returned in the 1940s, we were again supposedly liberated from Japan. But yet today, what we see in my country is the most devastated, impoverished kinds of conditions and human rights violations. And again, another stronger U.S. military presence. There's a strong rumor that Gloria Macapagal Arroyo will declare martial law in just weeks. And with this, she will be able to hold office. Our organization is just waiting for some explosions or something to happen that's then going to justify and cause something that will which will demand a full U.S. Presence and occupation in our country again. I was going to go through a whole lot more, but basically that's the current situation. U.S. troops are there. There are combat troops that are there. They're not supposed to be taking part in battle. I just like to say on a personal note that my father's a veteran in the Navy, and that's actually how we even got to this country. And I just want to say that I admire and I respect Veterans for Peace. I met some of you in Chicago not long ago at the UFPJ convention. And I just wish that my father could also be open to some of how all of you feel being members of Veterans for Peace, because even my dad is like, we've got to have them there, we've got to have them in Iraq, we've got to have, you know, and I understand a lot of why that is, and I love him dearly, but I again want to thank you and leave some room for some questions for all the panelists, and again, sorry that I was late.